despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. The special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts. So he's spelling out exactly what he is clearing them from. And he says tacitly or expressly they did not. That answers a big question because a lot of people thought perhaps there were signals. It wasn't expressed. But when the president, as a candidate, said, Russia, if you're listening, could that have been tacit? And Robert Mueller has weighed in and said that was not tacit. There was no coordination or conspiracy.
So this vindicates the president on collusion.
It does. So it would vindicate him on collusion.
Here with some fresh nightshade for you to collude with. All right, we're going to get into it. There's a lot of stories to cover that other places aren't covering because, as everyone, I'm sure you heard, the Mueller report hit on Friday, or rather they announced the results, which is Trump will be exonerated in terms of Russian collusion. I was on the Tom Shalhoub show when this happened, and my immediate reaction, which went viral on Twitter, was, if you were the loyal opposition, you should be happy that our president isn't colluding with a foreign power. This is a good thing. It's perfectly acceptable to say Trump's awful, worst president ever, he's crap, he's stupid, he's a comment of a lot. You can say all you want. If there had been collusion between a president and a foreign quasi-hostile power, this would have really bad consequences democratically. Because then what happens? If you impeach him and remove him from office, does Mike Pence really have a right to be there? Because he didn't get elected fairly. He's on Trump's coattails. This would be the biggest constitutional nightmare easily since the Civil War. But no, everyone's upset rather than relieved on the left. And the thing I wanted to stress to people on the right is, where are the consequences for the members of the corporate press who pushed this? Oh, yeah, people aren't going to believe them. I'm sorry. This Trump story was a lot more plausible and coherent and had some more basis than what they did with Kavanaugh and what they accused Kavanaugh of doing. There's no one who's going to sit there and tell me with a straight face that Donald Trump is a more ethical person than Brett Kavanaugh, that Donald Trump hasn't been more honest than Brett Kavanaugh. You cannot say this, in my opinion, with a straight face. And what they did with him, no consequences. Remember Chuck Grassley from the Senate committee? We're going to have investigations, blah, 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 blah. Julie Sweat, all this other, whatever her name is, Smollett. I don't even remember their names anymore. No, nothing. Although Avenatti did get arrested today, so there's that. But that's secondary. Lindsey Graham was flipping his shit. There's going to be consequences. You put Kavanaugh through hell. What happened? They lost the House is what happened. So I don't know what the answer is. But the idea, what happened in the metaphor I used on Twitter is, the corporate press keeps taking shots, like in basketball. They miss the shot. Oh, it's a huge victory. No, it's a wash. If they took a shot and doesn't cost them anything, they will do it again, and they should do it again. Because it's all upside for them. People like, oh, now Americans aren't going to watch them anymore. Rachel Maddow is close to number one in cable. She goes back and forth with Tucker. The fuck? She was literally crying over this. In fact, the video of her crying, the girl who put it up on Facebook, on Twitter, was suspended. But then everyone reposted it, went viral. Actually, Drew, if you go to my Instagram, instagram.com/MichaelMalice, I think it's like the fourth or fifth thing, there's a 30-second video. You have to watch this. It is hilarious, but also completely disturbing that this was Maddow's reaction. You got it?
Bill Barr stopped Mueller from doing. And that's...
that everybody she's would crying! Like to hear
that from Robert Mueller, as well as from Bill Barr. But at this point, it's only Bill Barr who is speaking on Mueller's behalf. Robert Mueller is still, at this point, publicly silent, as he has been from the very beginning. Although, we'll have more on that in a moment.
I have watched that. I have watched that like 12 times, and every time she says boo-hoo, I piss my pants, and I don't know what it is. The point is, there have to be... This is negotiating 101. You reward good behavior, you punish bad behavior. What are going to be the consequences? Mueller was just doing his job, and he fucking did an excellent job in the sense that he kept his mouth shut. There were no leaks. The only time he went public was when BuzzFeed had some kind of story, goes, no, this is bullshit. And he's still keeping his mouth shut. Meanwhile, Comey, who was the devil because he cost Hillary the election, remember? And then when Trump fires him, he's an angel, somehow, again, redeemed. He gets his book deal. He's all over the fucking TV. Anyway, it's really disturbing, and I want you all to look how quickly they're pivoting. I want this video from Placeboing was from 2017. And just to remind you all what the last 2 years were like, let's play this hilarious video.
Trump, Putin, Russian collusion.
Trump, Russian sort of collusion.
Trump, Russian possible collusion.
Trump, Russian metal collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Trump, Russian potentially collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Trump, Russian possible collusion.
Trump, Russian bot collusion.
Trump, Russian collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Russian hacked our election.
Here comes a big change. Because all of a sudden, Trump, Russian possible collusion,
Russian collusion,
Trump, Russian possible collusion,
Trump, Russian possible collusion,
Trump, Russians collusion,
collusion with the Russians,
Trump, Russia possible collusion,
Trump, Russia possible collusion,
prove collusion, prove collusion.
Was there collusion?
Absolutely.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
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 Trump, Russia potential collusion.
Trump, Russia potential collusion.
Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion.
And Putin and the Kremlin and be in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin.
People are very worried.
In collusion, this president in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin. And be in collusion. This president in collusion with Putin and the Kremlin.
People are very worried.
In collusion.
All 17 intelligence agencies.
Oh, no.
17 agencies.
17 of our intelligence agencies.
17 of our intelligence agencies.
17 intelligence agencies.
17 different United States intelligence agencies.
All 17 of them.
Okay. Remember, not that long ago, in 2016, we were so much younger then, when questioning the results of an election is a big attack on our democracy. 2 years of that. 2 years of not, there's no hand-wringing like, man, if this is true, this would really fucking suck. What do we do? Nope. It was just a drumbeat for over 2 years at this point. It's just absolutely reprehensible. And I'm surprised, because I thought Mueller would try to weasel his way out of it and be like, well, there's some kind of, he was like, no indictments. And his job was to find the indictments. So that's where I'm thinking on this. I don't know how this is going to play out. One thing Trump does very, very well generally is counterattack. And I saw he sent out a letter saying, why are these guests on all your shows? And of course, the corporate press is taking this as, oh, it's attacking the free press. It's like, no, asshole. If someone was on TV for 2 years spewing bullshit and you're still inviting him back on your show, that's on you. You can't play dumb. Okay, so I guess that was a Night Rage segment that turned into... We'll have more of that at the end of this episode if we have time. But I also wanted to talk about shit going down with the SPLC. So not only did the co-founder, the president of the SPLC, Richard Cohen, announce his resignation on Friday. It's the latest in a series of departures. This departure marks the end of an era at the Montgomery, Alabama nonprofit whose staff had recently raised questions about the organization's longstanding mission of so-called justice and anti-discrimination, which yielded hundreds of millions of dollars in donations and matched its internal treatment of some black and female employees. Whatever problems, this is what Cohen wrote in an email, whatever problems exist at the SPLC happen at my watch, so I take responsibility for them. He asked the staff to avoid jumping to conclusions before the board completes an internal review of the organization's work culture. His resignation comes the same day as a resignation by the organization's legal director, Rhonda Brownstein, who did not give a reason for her departure. Brownstein did not respond to requests for comment. Cohen joined the SPLC in 1986, became one of its most prominent figures, waged legal and public campaigns against far-right groups, including neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan. Under his watch, the center also received frequent criticism and a lawsuit from Ron Coleman on behalf of Gavin McInnes, who used to sit in this very chair, which we'll be covering, of course, as the days go on, received criticism for its aggressive fundraising tactics and for its depiction of some right-wing figures as extremists. And the organization had been unable to shake long-standing internal concerns over the diversity of its predominantly white staff and white leadership. His departure comes 1 week after he fired Morris Dees. He's the one who fired him, who was the center's co-founder, chief trial counsel, and biggest public face for nearly half a century. This move stunned insiders and marked the most significant change of the guard in the center's history. And at 5.03 p.m. Friday, talk about perfect timing. It's the minute everyone's out of the office for the weekend, he sent the email to staff with the subject line "stepping down," announcing that he too would be leaving the organization that he and Dees had turned into a research and fundraising juggernaut. He told staff that he had asked the center's board directions in October to start searching for a new president, citing a need for a transition in a new generation of leadership. "But in light of recent events, I've asked the board to immediately launch a search for an interim president in order to give the organization the best chance to heal." Ooh, this lawsuit's going to get ugly. I mean, we already knew it was going to get ugly because Ron is tenacious and Gavin certainly has no fucks left to give. But ooh, this is going to be good. Earlier last week, the board had announced that it had appointed Tina Chen, the former chief of staff for Michelle Obama, to lead the inquiry into its workplace conditions. They said, "We're going through a difficult period right now, and I know that we'll emerge stronger at the end of the process than we've launched with Tina Chen." This is what Cohen wrote. He goes, "Given my long tenure at the SPLC, however, I do not think I should be involved in that process beyond cooperating with Tina, her team, and the board in any way that may be helpful." So, I mean, I don't know how much of this is a result of the lawsuit. I'm sure it's not helping. I'm sure people are freaking the fuck out. I'm sure they should be freaking the fuck out, because now all of a sudden, instead of them pointing the trigger, the pistol at the people, the eye of Sauron is on them, to mix metaphors needlessly. So I'll be covering that in the days to come. I'm sure. I don't know if this is going to give Gavin any happiness, because he's still fucked over in many platforms. I don't know why I'm cursing needlessly. I'm cursing because of all the Trump-Russia possible collusion. It really kind of grinds my gears. I also want to follow up with what is going on with New Zealand. I tweeted this out over the weekend, and I'll say it right here, and I don't think I'm going to be the one to do it. It would be, let me just read this quick. Saturday, New Zealand announced a ban for the possession and distribution of the manifesto written by the suspect behind the attack at the two mosques last week. It would be the country's Office of Film and Literature Classification said the document is objectionable under law. "There's an important distinction to be made between hate speech, which may be rejected by many right-thinking people, but which is legal to express, and this type of publication, which is deliberately constructed to inspire further murder and terrorism." This is from their chief censor, David Shanks. He said it crosses a line. I'm sorry? If you have, like, the biggest terrorist attack in New Zealand history, this is of extreme historical relevance and value. It is. Shanks called on the public to delete any copies of the manifesto as well as report it when it's discovered online. His job is to censor. "New Zealanders can all play a part in denying those who exhort hatred, killing, and terror. Do not support the murderous objectives of this author by republishing or distributing it." The objectives of the author was what he's doing: censorship and gun confiscation. He wanted to escalate. He was an accelerationist. "The manifesto of the man charged with the murder of 50 people, oh my God, includes more than 70 pages full of anti-Muslim and anti-immigrant rhetoric. It was reportedly titled," I like it, "it's reportedly titled," like the reporter couldn't figure it out. You're a reporter! "The Great Replacement," which is an apparent reference to a 2012 book by a French author that describes a theory that European white majority is being replaced by Muslim and non-white immigrants. And that's why they were chanting in Charlottesville, "You shall not replace us." It also allegedly includes a line calling President Trump, quote, "a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose." It also had the Navy SEAL copypasta people. "The White House rejected the suspect's remarks. The manifesto was published on social media, and CNN reported it was also sent to the office of New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern shortly before the shooting started. The manifesto quickly spread around the internet, as well as video of the attacks. Authorities earlier this week made it illegal to distribute or possess the video, and a 22-year-old New Zealand man was arrested for distributing the footage. Now, this is what I tweeted out over the weekend. It would be a real shame if a bunch of people sent copies of this manifesto to literally every single member of the New Zealand government and to the chief censor. And just or you could even write a script and then have one email that says, attached under separate cover is the manifesto. I've also contacted the authorities to notify them that you're in possession of this manifesto. This is a case where technology can trump the state and can trump censorship. Sorry to use that word trump in this case. I'm not trying to make a pun. Because very quickly, if they don't want you to have this manifesto, there's some bookstores in New Zealand that pulled Jordan Peterson's book. Jordan Peterson's book. That's right. If you're cooking lobster today, you're baking Jews tomorrow. So this is a great chance to counterattack. I'm not going to do it because I'm sure shit's going to go down for me, but someone should. And let's just see what the fuck happens with these people, these disgusting, disgusting people. And again, this is what he wanted. He wanted censorship and more oppression. Good Lord. Okay. Speaking of someone who wants censorship and more oppression, Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary. Bad news for him. The European Parliament, center-right. So basically, you have, just like in America or just like maybe Germany or all these other countries, you have the parliament and you have different factions. The European Parliament has that as well across different countries. So their center-right faction is called the European People's Party. They've indefinitely suspended Hungary's Nationalist Fidesz Party in a blow to Orban just months before European Parliament elections. Wednesday, this happened Wednesday, following more than 3 hours of heated debate in Brussels, which saw the EEP members vote 190-3 in favor of the measure. As part of the suspension, Fidesz will lose all membership privileges, including voting rights, effective immediately, and the loss of the blockbuster card. That would have been funny if I landed the joke. This, according to EEP President Joseph Dahl, he said this in a tweet. He says, Fidesz will be suspended with immediate effect until further notice following today's vote. With the EEP originally expected to vote on whether or not to expel Fidesz from the party, conservative leaders put forward the suspension as a compromise, which was aimed at diffusing divisions within the party. Orban, who was there, said he supported the measure and was satisfied with the result. He goes, "We decided that we will not exercise any rights in the EPP, and the voters will decide on Fidesz's place on the political map of Europe." This is what he told reporters after the vote. Comments from the leader of Hungary came hours after his chief of staff, Gergely Gulyás, said any suspension would result in Fidesz withdrawing from the EPP. Currently, Fidesz makes up a small but important part of the group and is expected to pick up more seats in May's election. And since taking power in 2010, Orban has been a source of angst for Brussels, both for his vocal criticism of the EU leadership and his allegedly increasingly autocratic policies at home. Since winning a parliamentary supermajority, he has used an anti-migrant platform to bolster an aggressive campaign against so-called independent media. Yeah, right. He's the one going after independent media, while heavily restricting the role of civil society groups. As a result of his actions, the U.S.-based nonprofit Freedom House last month downgraded Hungary's status as a free nation to, quote-unquote, partly free. And rights groups said Wednesday decisions was nothing more than politically motivated half-measure. Suspending Fidesz is an admission that something is deeply wrong in its rule of law of accord, but it's also a window-dressing compromise. This is from Philippe Dam, who's the advocacy director for Europe and Central Asia's Human Rights Watch. He told this to Al Jazeera. He goes, "In reality, Viktor Orban has stopped adhering to EPP democratic principles for years. It's time for the EPP to clarify its stance on EU values and exclude Fidesz." And while the EPP has often expressed dismay with his tactics, a recent media campaign attacking European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker appears to have been the final straw. Plastered throughout Hungary were government-funded posters depicting Juncker as a puppet of George Soros, who is a U.S.-Hungarian billionaire philanthropist and busybody. The banners accused the pair of launching experimental immigration projects with African countries, including mandatory settlement quotas and reduced financial assistance for countries opposed to migration. And as part of the conditions for restoring Fidesz's membership status, the EPP is demanding the removal of those posters and other material associated with what it calls a fake news campaign. This is according to a draft of the emergency resolution. We got breaking news coming out of England regarding Brussels. I will be covering that extensively tomorrow. Brexit is about to happen with a no-deal Brexit. Over the weekend, there were buzzing that they wanted to pull Theresa May. There were all these. Michael Gove was being put forward as a possible alternative to her. He's very much a pro-Brexit member of the Tories. Nothing came of it as of this filming, but right now there's meltdowns happening in Parliament. So I will cover that at length. And one last thing, we have this video of Maxine Waters talking about Putin and the Kremlin. And this is her on MSNBC, and it bears watching to some extent. Let's break this piece down.
You have Donald Trump supporters, including his former UN ambassador, Nikki Haley.
Joy Reid, like Jesse Smollett. Remember, they found old tweets of hers, old blog entries of hers, which have been described as homophobic. I don't really think they were. I think they were gay baiting, which is not really the same thing. She called the FBI. No consequences. This is what I was talking about, the head of the show. Go ahead.
Out there tweeting.
Wait,
pause, and saying,
what the fuck? Look at Maxine Waters' face. She looks like, remember when Bill Cosby would make a joke on the Cosby Show? And he'd be like, what the fuck is that? Look at her. Where's she? So this, I've done these setups where I don't think she can see Joy. There's a monitor in front of her. She's supposed to stare at it. But and you hear the person in the earpiece. I think that's what's going on here. She just doesn't know where to look. Holy shit. Okay.
Essentially presuming that the president has been exonerated by the report, and in Nikki Haley's case, saying that it's been completed and everyone should just move on. It's a curious position to take since we don't know what's in the report.
Stop. Okay. We don't know what's in the report. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, we don't know the details of how he's they said no indictments. If you want to, Joy-Ann Reid, if you want to go with a fine-tooth comb, what that means, for fucks, we don't know. I don't know. And what else is amazing? I forgot about this. Over the weekend, all the Democrats were like, we got to release the report. Does anyone really doubt that this report's getting released? Fucking bullshit. Oh, we can't wait till Monday after 2 years. We have to see it now, even though we know the conclusions. Go ahead.
But do you see colleagues on the other side of the aisle sort of declaring this whole thing at an end and wanting no further inquiry? I know that the House has something like 80 subpoenas still out.
Absolutely. Well, I want to tell you that this president has a way
Where's she looking? Can you zoom in? Can we zoom in on her face? On her? I mean, does it blow up? More. Give me. What the fuck is going on there? More. I want that tight shot. Holy. Okay, stop. What is that? That is not a happy woman. And that underbite thing she's doing? I want this president. Wow. Good Lord, that is not a... Can we play with this zoomed in? Yeah, let's play like this.
Trying to get into people's heads and indoctrinate them. He's been saying no collusion, no collusion,
stop,
no collusion.
Perfect. Blow it up, doll, next scene. We started this show with the clips of her in Peach Faux Fi. Possible collusion, Trump-Russia in collusion with Putin. He's been indoctrinating people. Holy shit! This is amazing. Wait. You're saying that for 2 years, he's been accused of treason and he denied it constantly. What's wrong with this guy? That's indoctrination. How many times do you have to tell us? Holy shit. Go ahead.
Over and over again for a long time now, and he's going to try and conclude that this report is proving that there's no collusion, and you have a lot of his sycophants who will, you know, take the nod
from him. Stop. His sycophants. Remember the clip at the beginning of the show? Literally, this show started with that same network, MSNBC, and the reporter saying, oh, does this absolve the president of collusion? Yes, it absolves the president of collusion. His sycophants at that fucking network. Okay, go ahead. Jesus Christ.
I say the same
zoom
thing.
In, zoom in.
But we cannot allow them to get away with this. He does
get
this all the time. This is not the end of anything. This is the, well, it's the end of the report.
Oh, my God. Look at that face. This is not the end of anything. Well, other than the investigation, which is what we were talking about for 2 years. Holy, why would someone say it's done when this is the end of the report? What do you do? Like, when you're reading a book, right? Hold on. I got a book here. The fuck is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? This is like gay pornography. All right. But with pull quotes by James Woods, Ron Perlman, and Joe Mantegna. When you're reading a book, ooh, these pages are white. Holy shit. When you're reading a book and the book is done, you don't keep reading. There's nowhere to go. It's not done. It's done. It's the report. Okay, go ahead.
Investigation by Mueller, but those of us who chair these committees have a responsibility to continue with our oversight. There's so much that needs to be, taken a look at this point. And so it's not the end of everything.
Wow. Holy shit. There's nothing there that it's like, I'm relieved. Or, you know, you could even, like I said before, you could easily pivot to be like, all right, I'm glad our president is involved in treason. It turns out he wants to destroy America on his own. He doesn't need lessons from Putin and the Kremlin. I mean, you could say all sorts of things. Like, oh, it turns out Trump's not taking his lessons from Putin. He's taking them from Hitler. It's not Russia. It's Germany. I mean, there's so many ways you can pivot with a straight face and still kind of be somewhat in the realm of decency, even though those are not decent thoughts. But, oh, no, this doesn't change anything. We're just going to keep. And the other thing is, for 8 fucking years, the mantra was Obama has faced more opposition than any president in history. Remember that? 8 years, obstructionist Republicans. This is no president ever have to deal with this, obstructionist Republicans. And now, to your investigation, thank God the president wasn't colluding with a foreign power to steal an election. Well, this doesn't change anything. We're just going to have to keep oversight and looking over things and blah, blah, blah. And oh my God. And the thing is, I hope that people are getting red-pilled by this. And I don't think this is unique to the Democrats either. Thankfully, I think the two sides are getting more and more radicalized and realizing there's no working with each other. And nor should there be. Oh my God. And it's just funny, Joanne Reed just sitting there being like, yeah, okay, I'm glad you're staying the course on this most serious of issues. So, whew, man. Guys, go look at my Twitter because I was on a tear over the weekend. And they were all going viral, and it was a lot of fun. And as I pointed out this morning, the reason Trump got away with it is because of white privilege. And I mean, look what happened. Our first black president, Bill Clinton, was impeached over far less. I mean, you can't argue with facts. That's just the facts there. So we'll follow up tomorrow with Brexit and a few other stories. But until then, I wish you sweet dreams.
I hope they don't have diabetes. You look really familiar.